are at chapter number 9. Chapter 9 is a very interesting chapter in the book of Revelation. We have come through now 8 chapters. We are not necessarily moving at a snail's pace, but we are not running through the chapters either. We're trying to find the things that we need to know, that when we read the book of Revelation again, some of these things perhaps will come back to us. And if you take notes, they'll help you as you study on your own. When we were in chapter 8, they closed out, an angel came and he closed out the last bit of the trumpets, and he said there were 3 woes coming, and the last 3 judgment will be worse than the others. They were called woe judgments. And so we are going to see those, 2 of them today. And we are now, when we get through with chapter 9, we will begin into the second 3.5-year period called the Great Tribulation. Some Bible scholars do not recognize the first 3.5 years. They just go immediately to the Great Tribulation. Jesus mentioned this in chapter 24 of Matthew. Now remember, I want to rehearse with you what I've told you before. Read chapter 24 and 25 of the book of Matthew, but keep in your mind that 99% of what is said there is to the Jews while they are in this tribulation period, particularly the Great Tribulation time. As we study along, you can go back and reference in chapter 24 of Matthew and see things that Jesus talked about that are coming to pass in these 7 years of tribulation period. I go with the total of 7 years because Daniel calls it that 70th week, and it was 7 years of weeks, and so this is 7-year period, makes up the 70th year, and then God is going to take over this world. Up to this time, Satan has crowned his man, the Antichrist. He has marshaled his armies together. We will see a description later on where he kills off some of these kings or leaders of these nations, and he whittles it down to what the old Roman Empire was during Rome's heyday, 10 nations. And they will probably pluck those members from the European Union, which is in control right now of several countries. They are also reaching out to others, but those will fall off in the days of the tribulation. They will come under the complete rule of the Antichrist. He will kill off their armies, and therefore he will have their nations. That's what happens either before the rapture, before the rapture or right after the rapture, and I think it's possibly right after the rapture, that Russia and a couple of her allies, probably Syria and maybe Lebanon or Iran possibly, will come into the north of Israel, and they're going to sweep over Israel, and they're just going to annihilate them, but they're going to be completely surprised because God kills off all the armies out in the mountains north of Israel. They don't kill off the nation, they just remove their armies from them, and so Russia and those armies that help them will be helpless. Their nations will be vulnerable. But now today, we enter into a new beginning of God's fierceness. Remember, God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that looks over and judges every man accordingly. Now he has given, by his permission, although he is orchestrating what's going on in the first 3.5 years, he has given Satan free rein to work with his Antichrist, and he's done many things. We've already seen many judgments that have come upon man and this world. Now these three woe judgments will be worse than anything yet. And they're going to get worse when we come into the bowls or the vile judgments. But let's look at chapter number 9 and verse number 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, who is this star? Well, first of all, the star is figurative. Remember, in the book of Revelation, you have a lot of symbolism or figuratives that come on the scene. A lot is in reality. Sometimes it's a little difficult to separate the two. But if you read either a little before or a little after, you realize what it is, either a symbol or figuratively or reality. This is symbolic because a star, this is not a star, but rather it is some form of person or entity that comes down to earth. In other words, this star is referred to as a him. Let's read a little bit on. It says, a star fell from heaven under the earth and to him. You would not address a meteorite or a star falling to heaven. So this is some kind of personality. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, who could this be? This is a very special angel from heaven. This is a good angel, by the way. And he comes as it was in haste and in speedily time, because he comes with a mission. He must be a very trustworthy angel, because God has put in his trust the key to the abyss, or what we know as the bottomless pit. What is down in that bottomless pit? All or most of the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer. Many of them are there. Many of them are imprisoned in the Euphrates River over close to where the Garden of Eden was. Many of them are loosed, and they are those tormenting demons that torment you and I and try to keep us from doing God's will. They are also those that inhabit themselves into the bodies of people that do not have Jesus Christ as Savior. You remember the man, the demonic at the Gadarenes. Jesus cast out all those legions of demons from this man. And demons have to have a body, else they'd be cast into total darkness. And that's why they beg Jesus, send us to those hogs. And a demon never does anything good. He sent them at their request into the hogs, and they committed hogicide. You remember what happened? All those hogs went over the cliff and killed himself. So a demon does not do any good. A child of God that has the Lord Jesus Christ, you definitely are a child of God. You cannot be possessed by a demon. Light cannot dwell with darkness. You have the Holy Spirit living with you in the person of Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit living in you, and that demon will not come into you. He can't. He's afraid of you. Now let me tell you, he can influence you, else you stay close to the Lord. That's why the Bible encourages us to stay close. God said, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And so demons then are real. You don't want to try to fight with the devil on your own. You will be defeated and maybe ruined every time. We take our fight up with the demonic spirits and with Satan through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has once and for all paid our price that gives us salvation, and he alone can fight our battle for us, and he will do that. All right, so we know this is a good angel who has come down from heaven, a trusted angel. God has put in his hand the key to the bottomless pit. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, what's he talking about here? He says that when he opened this pit has been closed up for many thousand years. And when he opens it up, there's nothing good that comes from Satan. So when he opened this pit, it belched up all the characteristics of what had been housed in that pit all these many, many years. And so it came up as a dark smoke. It came up as sulfur. It came up as so dense that it blackened the skies. And this is worldwide, by the way. This is not just happening on one little corner. God is seeing that this goes on all around the world, that everybody is influenced in seeing what's happening. And so he opens this bottomless pit. And in verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, just reference that, Joel begins to speak as a prophecy. You remember Israel had gone astray and turned their back, and God sent judgment to their land in the form of locusts or grasshoppers, as we know what they are. But there's many kinds. We've recently experienced some of that in our nation, grasshoppers eating up the crops. And they have brought certain types of locust killers in to try to kill them off and save their crops. Well, if you're looking close today, there's grasshoppers showing up everywhere all of a sudden. I got out of my car the other day, and I just happened to look over at the pickup, and sitting next to me, there's a big old golden grasshopper. I've never seen a golden colored grasshopper. So it must be a new strain that's come in. So look at his description of these. And remember, John is not up to date in his thinking. John looks at the future in the eyes of what's going on in his life and his realm and society, and therefore he uses the descriptions that would describe what this thing looks like. So he says in verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Well, that's a unique kind of locust. Here's a locust that, let's say, looks like a grasshopper to us, and yet it has a sting or a tail like a scorpion. That's the way he has to describe it. This is a horrendous thing happening. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So here we have these imprisoned evil spirits come on the scene. And it's amazing how you can find so much reference to what's going on in the book of Revelation. In Jude and verse 6, Jude writes, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness, under the judgment of the great day." And we're in the great day of the Lord. So these have been reserved. He's going to bring them out in the form of locusts. And these could be angels. These could be those same angels that sinned in Genesis chapter 6, verses 2 to 7, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. Remember that? And they produced a very different kind of person. And God would not stand for that, so God put them in this bottomless pit for all this time. They've been waiting to get their vengeance on this earth. So God looses them by this angel that holds the key, and they're going to go all over the world. But they're going to have orders, not from Satan, they're going to have their orders from God himself. He says, you cannot hurt anything except those that do not have the seal of God upon them. That means that first off, we know since the beginning of tribulation time of Revelation, we know that the 144,000 have the seal of God in their head, and they are evangelists going all over the corners of the earth preaching the word of God, salvation. People are being saved. It's amazing what a great revival's going in places that we can't even go in with a Bible today. But God has powers to open those things. And so he says, in essence, you can't harm or do anything to these 144,000 sealed men. But he says another thing. He says there are going to be men and women and children that have received me as Savior, and you won't be able to harm them either. But he gives them the target for whom they can go to, and he said you can target and torment for 5 months any person that does not have the seal of God upon him. That means those that have the seal of Antichrist, and there'll be those that have the seal of God, and those that will not have any kind of seal. So there's two classes he can go after with these locusts. They'll go after those that are not saved. They do not have a seal of any kind, rebellious against everything. Then he'll go after those that have the mark of the Antichrist. You say, well, how can they see it? Some of them will take the mark in the palm of their hand. God knows who they are, remember. God is orchestrating all of this. So here we have them. Now we are seeing these imprisoned evil spirits come out. They're like a military war machine. Let's read on. And he said in verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. I have never been bitten, I guess you could say, or stung is a better nomenclature, by a scorpion. Have you? Anybody ever? It's a very painful thing, I understand. Some people die from the sting of the scorpion. Their body cannot repel it. Now you just imagine this thing. It's coming to you, and for 5 straight months, one could be assigned to you, to a person, I should say, and they would torment that person day and night, 5 months. I have an earache sometimes. You ever get an earache? And it will only last a few hours or maybe till the next day. And if I had that for 5 months, I would go crazy. If we get stung by a bee, you know, we can feel the little stinger in there and it hurts like everything for a day or two, then it goes away. But what if that bee stung you just one right after another all over your body for 5 straight months? That's torment, isn't it? That's what these people are going to be going through. But let's look at something else. And he said that they should torment them in verse 5 for 5 months, and their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death. I would too if I'd been stung or struck by a scorpion like locust time after time after time, and there will be no immunity to that. You just can't get away from it. Every time you turn around, this thing is after you or on you. You can't hide from it. And men, this means human beings that are not saved, not necessarily just men. It'll be men and women, and those that are at the age of accountability that do reject God, they will be attacked by these things. You know, one day I was out at the backyard doing something about a year or two ago, and I turned around and I ran right into a big swarm of gnats. And I was spitting and sputtering and coughing out gnats for a long time. But would that have been this kind of a creature, I would have probably been praying for death, oh, that I might die. And here's what they'll do. They shall cry for death. They'll say, in those days they'll seek for death, and they shall not find it. In this time we're living in right now, Many people have gone to these people and said, you can have life right now by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have to go into the tribulation period that is prepared for the devil and his followers. No, 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 I don't want that. So now they are not praying for life, they are crying out for death. You would think that they've heard the preaching of the 144,000 or any Christians that have been saved and glad they are saved, even though their lifespan in the tribulation will be relatively short. Yet they have probably heard a witness of Christ, and you would think they would say, oh God, what must I do to be saved? How can I get away from this? God from heaven would answer them. God would show them how they could have salvation. But they are stubborn and hard-necked and proud and hard-hearted, and they will not turn. God is seeing just how far wicked man will go. Now let's read on a little bit. They're going to cry for death, and death shall flee from them. They fled from Christ. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Death is fleeing from them. Oh, that they could get death. When they were here, all they wanted was life. Just live it up. And take no care for anything of God. Now they're not wanting to live it up. They're wanting to die, lay down and die. Now look at something else in verse number 7. And the shapes of the locusts. Now listen to John's termination of this. He said, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. In other words, it was long and flowing. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. What a gruesome thing. But let me interject something right here. These creatures are not necessarily visible. This is not a literal locust. This is an unseen demonic spirit that is attacking them. You can't see them. If you saw them, it would give you a heart attack before they attacked you. That's how gruesome they are. John just gives us a picture because he's seeing with spiritual eyes. And Jesus is showing him things to come. And his description is descriptive of what he would see and relate it to the time in which he lived. He knew about locusts. He knew about scorpions. He lived with them in the desert area all the time. Now, he gives the best human description that he can come up with. But God then tells us of a grotesque appearance they have. And so they are spirit beings that are coming and inflicting this terrible torment on these individuals. The demons that would come at us today, when you start reading your Bible, let me tell you what happens. You sit down some evening to read your Bible and meditate on the Word of God, and you're approaching it in the best way that you've been taught, by prayer and supplication. And so you begin to get your mind off of everything. You sat there for a few moments and let your mind clear itself of all the clutter of the day, and you open your Bible and you begin to read, and then something happens. The telephone rings, or you think of something that has to be done just that moment. All kind of clamoring goes into your mind. It is not you or your subconscious. That is these unseen evil spirits that we refer to as demons. And it only takes one, and they are unseen. If we could see them, they would probably be just as horrible looking as these look. And we would just faint or have a heart attack, literally. So we're not unseen. They don't inflict wounds to us, but they inflict situations that are discomfort. We can't get our mind on what God wants us to get our mind. And finally, we have to bow our heads and say, Lord, you are greater than these demonic spirits that are trying me and trying to keep me from reading and concentrating on the Word of God. And I'm pleading the power and the blood of Jesus. Send these on their way. And you'll be amazed how calm your mind becomes. Now, that's what we're dealing with here. But these people have no way of sending these on their way. They have nothing to help them. Satan isn't going to help them. The Antichrist isn't going to help them. He's too busy fighting them off himself. Now listen, that's why the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is so important to us as a believer. If the Spirit of the living God didn't come into us when we were saved, we would have no power within us to repel the forces of the devil that come from the pits of hell itself. But God has given us that power. First, through His presence. Secondly, through the Word of God. Thirdly, with our association with Christian people. God has given us something to help us and our prayer time. Listen, when you feel that you're down spiritually, that is not a time to be alone. That is a time to have a good Christian friend that will lift you up. Job had friends, but they were not lifter-ups. We don't need comforters like Job. We need a person that will help us and pray and sympathize with us and hurt with us and help us through prayer of getting through this thing that we're into. And God will provide that. You have to look and let the Spirit of God lead you. And so now he says he's got a good description of these things. Look in verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now some theologians and students of the book of Revelation put this in a matter of literal things, that John is seeing mechanisms of war, of the military things, and coming on them, and what they're feeling is maybe something like a taser gun, just over and over. I really looked at that, and I looked at it, and I read others, and I thought, you know, I think it's right. I think they're an unseen foe. I think if they could see them, maybe they would think they're braver. I don't know. Because, you know, we fear the thing that we can't see. You know that? What scared us when we were a kid? You remember? Mother would say, run out to this, out to the trash can. And it's way out the yard, out the back alley. And there's no lights out there. And it's dark as pitch. And you say, well, maybe my little brother will go with me. No, he's got to go to bed. Well, maybe I could do it first thing in the morning, Mama. No, I want you to do it right now. What we are fearful of is the unseen, the unknown. And after we get older, we overcome that. We know there's nothing there. But now in this age you and I are living in, there could be harm to us out there. That's why we take our Magnum 357 with us and a shotgun over the other shoulder and go out with our high beam light to take a little bit of trash out to the garbage can. Now, I'm not putting you down, because you've been reading about some of these gals that are our age, and they've been fighting these guys. One shot a guy right before he could do anything. So don't play with Granny, you know. That's what I'm learning. She may pack a pistol. She may be a pistol-packing granny, you know. That's fine. Now, so I believe they are of a spiritual nature. God doesn't want them to see them. But the next time you have an opportunity, take a look at a grasshopper. I'm remembering that one I saw just the other day, because I was drawn to it because it's color. And some of the shields and things on it appear as armor. And it appears that they have something on their head. So John wasn't far off from his description. And look at verse number Well, let's finish up verse number 9. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now he's giving what he thinks, and it is. It's a detailed description of what these are doing. He's already told us about earlier. Now look at verse 11, and this is a very interesting verse. In verse 11, he says they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue, it's Apollyon. Now, this is amazing thing here's done. Let me tell you real quick, the king of this bottomless pit is not Satan. He is on the earth. He does not have the key. God evidently has the key because he calls for an angel that's trusted from heaven to bring the key to the bottomless pit and to open it. So someone in that bottomless pit who is a fallen angel. Now remember, all these angels were good angels at one time. Lucifer was highly regarded and respected in heaven one day before he rose up against God, and God cast him down to the lower atmosphere that we know as our heaven. One day, and soon, God's going to cast him down to the earth, and he will, by the way, right now, remember, Job has never been repudiated in the Word of God. He went with the sons of God as they appeared before God at his throne, and that's why Job was tested, because God, Lucifer, dared him. You take away all your protection, and he'll curse you. God said, oh no, I know my servant Job better than you do. He said, you can do all these things to him, but you can't take his life. Life is in the hand of God, not the devil. Remember that. Now, so he still can go back and forth to heaven and appear at God's throne, and guess what he's doing? Well, he's just visiting with God, not on your life. He's up there accusing the brethren. You know that? He's making accusations against you and me. You're kidding. Yes, he is. You start serving the Lord in a real dedicated way, and your name is mentioned by Lucifer in heaven, and he'll sick a bunch of his demonic spirits on you to try to prove to God that you're just going to fall down and play dead. And God looks at you and me, and he looks at our heart, and he says, I know my children, and that child will not do what you say he will do. And God says, I'll prove him. And so he allows some things to happen to us. And guess what they do? Because we're strong in the Lord, the Word of God is real in our minds, we are keeping ourselves from sin. That is, we are not frequenting and doing things that a sinner would do. And so God knows us, and we will be strong because in a time of crisis, we will walk, run away or play dead. We will turn to the Word of God and to God and look for our help there. Amen? Some of you are still backslidden. I'm just joking. But that's what we have to do. That's why the pastor encourages us. That's why I encourage you and other people. We encourage everyone, stay close to the Word. Stay close to God. We never know when the devil is going to send a horde of demonic spirits to attack us and try to prove God wrong. I don't want to be proven wrong by the devil. Now, let's keep that in the back of our mind. So they have a king, and this king is an angel that you would relatively liken to Michael the archangel. He's kind of the second man to Lucifer. But he's been cast down into this bottomless pit because he was one of those that fell with Lucifer, and he was one of those numbers in Genesis chapter 6 that did a horrendous thing that God would not permit, and he bound them to this bottomless pit until the time God says they can come out. So he comes out, and he's their leader. He's their king. But notice, and he's got these different names, Abaddon and Apollyon, so that we can know who they are. One woe now, the Bible says, is past. There's three. One woe we've seen in the past now, but behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now let's go to the second one at verse number 13. You're not listening very fast today. So at verse number 13, we're going to start the second woe. The sixth trumpet has sounded. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, now let me just stop and remind you, verse 13 reminds us that John is still in heaven, in the presence of God, in the throne room, while Jesus is showing him what's going to take place, things to come. If you ever see a book entitled Things to Come, it's a big book, written by Dwight J. Pentecost. You sell your shirt if you have to buy that book, because he makes these things so clear and plain. J. Dwight Pentecost, Things to Come. Now, get on Book Finder and you might be able to come up with it. He says to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Keep that word river Euphrates in your mind. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour is going to be the limit of their intention on this earth. They had that for to slay the third part of people still on this earth. Now, let's just stop right there for a minute. They have a very special mission. Notice that these were bound angels. That means they have been in chains, imprisoned in this abyss, the bottomless pit. So they're not good angels. They've been bound. Now, these that they will slay, this is kind of an overlapping of trumpet number 5 and trumpet 6. These men that they will kill off, or these people that they will kill off, as we said, they will basically be those that have taken no seal. They are incorrigibles. They don't fit anywhere. They're just blatant out. They just don't obey any rules of any kind. We have those people. We have those people right here in Gun Barrel City area. I see their picture on the faces of on the front page of the Monitor every week. You know, read about how they got apprehended by the police. Their ignorance is showing. They're rather dumb, you know. And I'm glad that our policemen are ever so keen to get them off the street for a while. But you see, these persons are led by this wicked, evil angel. He's a spirit also. You cannot see an angel. An angel can materialize into a bodily form under the power of God. And angels appeared to those shepherds when Jesus was born. An angel appeared to Balaam when his old mule had to do the speaking for him. Remember that? Angels have been in a bodily form many times at God's command. But these people cannot present themselves in a bodily form on their own. Now, we know something about the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates, these four angels that are going to administer all this, have been imprisoned in the river Euphrates for all this time, plus a horde of fallen angels there too. Why did God choose to imprison them in the river Euphrates? First of all, it's one of the four rivers that flows out of the Garden of Eden, where man was created and where man brought sin into the world by his fall and his disobedience to God. When I get to heaven, I want to be at it'll take me eons to get there, and his hand is going to be shaken to death, and he's probably going to have so many black eyes we won't even know him, and I'm going to ask him, why did you sin, buddy? I had to go through all of this discomfort all my life because of your sin. Well, maybe God will just let him make one statement to everybody and that'll be it. But I'm sure we're going to be looking for Adam. But anyway, God has supplied our need. The river Euphrates is close near also to the place where Babylon is rebuilt. And Babylon in this time, as we will see later on of explanations, the city of Babylon will be rebuilt. It will be the economic, commercial center of Antichrist for the whole world. It's going to be a very, very busy place. And so God knows what's going to be going on. This river Euphrates is very active in the history of the Jewish people. And so God puts these there so that he knows where they are and they know why they're there. So the river Euphrates does something else. They are going to produce an army like we have never known of before. Let's read on down. And the four angels now has been given this power. Verse 16, and the number of the army that will come up out of the Euphrates River are this, were numbered 200,000, 200 million strong. Now think about that. I read one time where right now China can produce an army of 200 million strong. I think some of that is gross propaganda. There will be a time when God will part the Euphrates River to allow the king of the east, which is China, to come through with their great visible literal army. This is not that time. These are not coming through the Euphrates from the east. They are coming out of the Euphrates. They are demonic angels or spirits. Now let's read on a little bit. And the number in verse 16 was 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now we know no horse looks like that. I've seen a lot of beautiful horses, and I've never seen one with that description. So John is given the description again of demonic spirits. He's seeing what God lets him see, and this is the horribleness of these spirits. But they're going to be evil spirits. Now look at verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed. They were killed by fire and by the smoke and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Let's stop and think about something here. We have earlier seen 25% of the earth's population killed. Now we have seen at least another third of the population killed. That means that over one half of the earth population has been killed off. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. This doesn't even include the number of the Christians that have been slain and tortured and martyred by Antichrist and his cohorts. So you can imagine this world is being depopulated by God's judgment. God is not fooling around. God means business. When God said to the Old Testament prophets and to us in the New Testament, prepare to meet God, that's exactly what he was talking about. Prepare to meet God because his judgment is coming. And the way we have prepared to meet God is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ready to meet our God. Not just a verbal sense that sounds good or cliche, but in Christ Jesus as our Savior, we are totally prepared to meet God. And we will one day, thank God for that. But persons that are not saved, they are not prepared for this. They are blinded by Satan. That's why I keep urging you over and over, if you have a friend or a neighbor or an acquaintance, and especially a member of your family, no matter how distant the relativity is, friend, you should get to those, because if the rapture comes today or tomorrow, it's only a little time until they go into this horrendous thing, and then they're probably going to never trust Christ because they're so stubborn in this life. That's the real message of Revelation. The revelation is not to show us how God can torment the unsaved and deal with Satan and all the heartaches that comes on the... That's really not what God wants to teach us. God wants to teach us, number one, that he is the God that sitteth in the heavens and knows the goings on of men down here. And he wants us to know that he is in the final days. He's going to deal with sin and Satan, and he's going to deal with his Jewish people. The people that he loves, that is the apple of his eye. We'll be reading here, studying just soon, how he's going to bring those Israelites to himself. And there's going to be a great multitude of Jews that will turn to Jesus Christ, and he will hide them over in the little area of Petra, and he will protect them there as he did in the land of Goshen in Egypt. They'll not be bothered by Satan. They'll not be killed by him. He is going to preserve them to bring them into the millennial kingdom reign. We've got a wonderful God. God is showing us then so that we can get it burned into our souls that people are going to perish and die with no hope and be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. He's saying to us Christians, wake up. Wake up right now. Find somebody to talk to about Christ. Now look at this. I don't apologize for preaching. I don't call that preaching. I just call that good old emphatic teaching. Don't you? Nod your head yes. All right, good. Glad you agree. Now, let's look at the next thing then. He says, for their power is in their mouth at verse 19, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads, and with them they do hurt. Boy, what a grotesque thing it is. Now notice this. We've just seen all of this come to pass and happen. All of this in the future, but he's telling us now what's going to happen. We could write over chapter 9 and verse 13 and even over chapter 9. God means business. He's not playing around. He means business. Now, look at this. Even after one-third of the world's vegetation has been removed, it didn't come back. One-third. One-third of the light that shines on this world has been removed. That's been hard to deal with. One-third of the water supply is gone. That's limited to all these millions of people that are still living on earth. All of these, and they will not accept the offer to receive Jesus as their Savior. They are still so hard and so stubborn, they will not repent. Their hearts are hardened, and they continue in their sinful practices. Look what John writes. Verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed That means my buddy in the tribulation could have been killed, and for some reason I'm spared. And it didn't even make him wonder. Look what he says. He said, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. The pastor told us about a real evidence of that when he went over into Thailand. Was that where he went? And he's given us that picture many times of what he witnessed. People are worshiping those images and they're dying and going to hell. See, people need to be told. The devil's got them blinded. And these men have seen the judgment of God over and over again, and they still haven't repented. Does that sound like today? Does that sound like people that have made idols of certain materialistic things that will not come to God's house though they be asked? Some are begged by family members. They won't come to the house of God because they've got to go with their idol, wherever it is, whatever it is. And they should read this book. They won't. Now listen, verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, neither did they repent of their sorceries, neither did they repent of their fornication, and neither did they repent of their thievery. In other words, these people have no intention to repent. What's going on in our world today? It's amazing how much dope of all kinds flow through the hands of people right in our little area. We're not New York City. We're not Chicago or LA. We are right here. It's amazing how many homosexual people live right here in our community. I have on my iPad Vancouver Sun, which is the newspaper in Vancouver up in Canada, and I love to read it. And I pulled it up, I think it was Monday morning, and one of the headlines, a big picture of all these people having a great time and banners flying in downtown Vancouver, that it was a meeting of Pride Week. They didn't call it Gay Pride, they just called it Pride Week. And they were expecting well over 500,000 people to watch them parade. And I thought, big picture, right on the front page of the Vancouver Sun. Folks, we've got it right here. You know why? Drugs and willful sin and rebellion against God has brought this about. And only you and I can subvert that by the power of God. I don't mean get you a soapbox, but I mean we can go to these people that we know and try to witness to them. And don't let the devil say you can't witness to them, because you can't. Don't let the devil make you believe they were born that way, so they know they were not born that way. It is a life of choice, period. Now, the Bible says they have become stubborn and they repented not. God says, let me tell you something. You think this is bad? Wait till we get to chapter 10. It's going to be a doozy, as Hazel says. It's going to be a doozy. You watch. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the clear word of the Word of God. We know that your judgment is coming on this world. We know that being a child of God or child of God, we are no longer under condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. But people all around us are facing this. Help us to go. Help us to see that someone comes across our path that we can witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let us hide. Don't let us put ourselves under a bushel and hope no one comes by. Let us get out and meet people and talk to them about the Savior. Convict us today. Thank you for everyone that's come out. Thank you for the Word of God. Our trust is in you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be sure and get your CD.